When we lived in Jordan, we lived there for about 15 years, I had the privilege of baptizing all three of my children. And the first time with Bethany, our oldest, the baptismal site where Jesus was baptized had not been fully excavated. They hadn't opened it up yet. And so we did the baptisms at a Christian and Missionary Alliance church that was in Amman where we lived, and that was what we did. When our son Joshua was wanting to be baptized, they had opened up the site, so the site was there, but the government had not given permission to go down to the actual Jordan River to do the baptism. So they would pump the water from the Jordan River into a pool where we baptized Josh and several others. But by the time Jonathan was ready to be baptized, we were allowed to actually go down to into the Jordan River. And so on the left, that's Jonathan being baptized, and on the right is a there were several that morning, but Akif, who was a Muslim background believer who wanted to be baptized, and so we had the privilege of baptizing him and others as well. And, this morning we're going to baptize five people. And, for Karen, for Amira, for Joshua, for Ellie, and for Evangeline, this is a momentous occasion. It is a day when they get to declare before all of us what they have done in their lives, in their hearts, in giving and trusting Jesus Christ. And so it's a beautiful thing, and there's a significance to it. And I pray that as we look into God's word to prepare us for that time, that those of us who have been baptized will have the some memories come back of those days, of what led us to our faith, what led us to trust Jesus, what led us to the waters of baptism. And the promises we made when we did, and that perhaps this is a day, kind of like renewing our vows in a wedding, we'll renew our vows to Jesus. So before we perform the baptisms, I just want us to take a few minutes to think about, why do we baptize? What happens in baptism? Why is it significant? And so I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 42, and then we'll think about that. Verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day around 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers." So let's pray, and then we'll think about baptism for a few moments. Lord Jesus, I am grateful for these five who have chosen today to publicly declare what they have inwardly believed, that Jesus is their Lord and their only hope for salvation. That, Lord God, as we think about what baptism is all about, as we follow and just watch as they are taken down into the waters and brought up, that, Father God, those of us today who have been baptized, who have been followers of yours, maybe for a long time, that you would renew in us the joy, the passion, the desire to live our lives for Jesus. And for those who are here today and who have never trusted in Christ, who have never taken that step, that, Lord, you would be pulling on their hearts, that you would be tugging at them and saying, today's the day. Follow their example. Trust in Jesus. And Lord, perhaps one day in the not-too-distant future, we would have the privilege of baptizing them. But for these five, I pray especially your blessings on them as we celebrate what you have done in their lives. So now, teach us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before Jesus came and started his ministry in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Before that, in Mark 1:4, John the Baptist appeared. And he was baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So John came as that forerunner, and John's baptism was intended to demonstrate that Messiah was coming. He came before the Messiah, before the promised one, to call people back to God. He came to remind them that God had promised that a new covenant would come. And it's that call to pay attention, to set things right, to be ready for what God was going to do. Now, in the old covenant, God had given that males were to be circumcised, and that was the way that they showed that they were part of the covenant community. But in John's baptism, a new symbol was given. It was no longer salvation is given to a person because of their ethnicity, because you're born in Israel, therefore you're part of the people of God and you're saved. It wasn't based on the things you do. Could you keep the law well enough? And if you did, then you'd be okay. Now, in this new covenant, salvation was through faith in the Messiah. It was through faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And so with this new covenant came a new symbol. That if you had believed that if that had been the thing that God had worked in you, then you were baptized. You were baptized as that symbol that this is what you believe, that this is what had happened in your life, and you were part of that new covenant community. So the new symbol for these new people was baptism. Baptism is the symbol that a person has repented of their sin and begun a new life of faith in Jesus Christ. It is a sign of repentance and faith. And so it symbolizes this entrance into the church. Now, baptism itself is not the entrance. It's the faith that's the entrance. This is just a very public and a very beautiful way of showing what has happened. Before Jesus began his public ministry, he went to John the Baptist. And he submitted to John's baptism. Now, Jesus never sinned. He didn't need to repent. That's not why he chose to go and be baptized. But Jesus was baptized because he approves of this symbol. And in fact, he calls us to follow him. And if we are to follow him, and he was baptized, we are called to be baptized as well. In fact, at the end of his time on earth before he was taken up to heaven, to cement this truth, after the resurrection, he tells his followers, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So everyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ is to be baptized. That's a part of our discipleship, a part of our following him. Just a few weeks after that command, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost. Peter preaches the very first sermon in church history, and Peter says to the people there, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So Peter calls the people present that day to repent, to turn away from their sin, to come and to trust in what Jesus has done, to turn away from the life that they'd been living, to come and to embrace this new covenant, and he tells them to be baptized as a symbol of that repentance. It's a promise, a command even, that was made not only to them, but to us as well, even for those who are far off. That's us, folks that would believe in the future, for people whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Everyone here this morning, everyone through the last 2,000 or so years of history who accepts the Lord, the call of the Lord to come and to trust in Jesus Christ, they are called to be baptized as a symbol of that repentance. They have put their faith in him, and they are supposed to then, as a sign of that, come and be baptized. So baptism is a sign of repentance and faith in Jesus, but it's also, baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. We died with Jesus and were raised to life in him. So baptism for John the Baptist, for Jesus, for Peter, and for us represents a conversion. It's that turning away from sin. It's that turning away from the old way of doing things, from a life of self-reliance, thinking that I could do enough, that I could be good enough, that I was strong enough, that I was smart enough, that I could figure out and keep the law or whatever it was that I was thinking I could do. I could do enough of it that God would accept me. And it's recognizing that I can never do enough that God would accept me. That all my best efforts will fall short because of the sin that's in my life. And so we turn to Jesus and we begin this new life relying on him. Relying on him for the things that we can't do for ourselves. Paul wrote in Romans 6, verse 4, "We were buried therefore with him," Jesus, "by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." So there's this picture that when we are baptized, we die with Jesus. The death that he died on the cross was a death in place of us. Our sin deserved to be nailed to that cross, and it was, but we weren't with it. Jesus took it upon himself. And so in baptism, when we go down into the waters, there's a picture of us being buried with Jesus. We have died with Jesus. We are dead to sin. We are dead to the old way. And I promised that to the ones being baptized that I've never left somebody there. I promise that we've never lost somebody. Now, Karen's husband said, "Yeah, and I'm sure we'll have to wait and see." But we haven't lost anybody yet. Why? Because there's another picture in it. Not only do we die with Christ, but we're raised with him. And so when we come up out of the water, it's that symbol that we are raised with Christ. The old is gone. We've died to that, and the new has come. And now we're alive to Christ in a way that we never were before. By faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit now is in us to guide us, to encourage us, to convict us when we're tempted back toward the old life so that we can press on and we can live that new life to the glory of God. So for the five of you who are going to be baptized in just a few moments, that's the picture of what's happening, that you've died with Jesus and you're being raised to life with him. Our sins are washed away through the blood of Christ, and now we can live for him by faith. It's this beautiful picture that we now walk in the newness of life. So baptism does not save a person. It is not Jesus plus baptism. The thief on the cross, Jesus told him, "You will be with me today in paradise." But we don't read that Jesus took him down off the cross, baptized him, and then put him back up there. He died having never been baptized, and that's okay. Baptism does not save us. It's the work of Jesus Christ that saves us. Baptism is the symbol of what happens when we trust in Christ. It is that picture of what we have believed. So I just, it's an important distinction that salvation is by faith in Jesus alone. It's never Jesus plus anything. Some churches baptize infants. And in fact, in the history of Salem, there was a time when Salem baptized infants as well. And sometimes those churches, and I don't think Salem did, but some of those churches taught that baptism is done for infants because it saves them. But again, salvation does not save, or baptism does not save. Salvation saves, but it's through Jesus. Baptism is not what would save that child. God's grace is what would save that child in that instance before they're able to understand the gospel. But, you know, before Jesus came and died and the new covenant was established, circumcision was administered to the physical sons of Abraham. So if you were born into Israel, on the eighth day, the boys were circumcised. That was how you were brought into the covenant family of God. For those who wanted to convert to Judaism, the men would be circumcised. It was that sign that they had decided to follow the God of Israel. Today, this new covenant, we've already said, it's not restricted to one nationality. It's not restricted to one people group or only to the descendants of Abraham by blood. It is open to anyone. And in fact, it is open to all who are spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham. And so if it's open to the spiritual children of Abraham, then Who are those? Well, Galatians 3:7 tells us that, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The children of Abraham are children because of their faith in Jesus Christ. That is how we become the children of Abraham. So when you, if you ever sang the Father Abraham song, that is why you could sing it, because you were a child of Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons, but we won't go into that now. We won't do that one now. Not a part of our worship repertoire. So my conviction is that baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. It cannot take place until a person has personally trusted in Jesus Christ. And so my conviction is that only believers, only people old enough to be able to believe should be baptized. Now, I have baptized infants, but done it as a dedication, a child dedication, with the idea that at some point they would have faith and be baptized as a believer. But never have, you know, but that's my conviction. And if you have other ideas, the Evangelical Free Church leaves the question open. I'd be happy to talk with you more about that later. But I do have that conviction that you need to be old enough to understand that you've sinned and cannot save yourself, and that Jesus is the one who died, and he's your only hope for salvation. And I have had the chance to talk to all five of these who are being baptized, and others have as well. And they have given a credible testimony of their salvation. And so it is with great joy and excitement that we're going to baptize them this morning based on that. The third thing we see in this passage is that baptism is a declaration, or maybe just when we think about baptism generally, I guess. The third thing we see is that baptism is a declaration that a person has repented and believed in Jesus. And then baptism is a public declaration of faith in Christ, and that he is their only hope for salvation. And the reason why I emphasize a public declaration is because in the early church, the worship meetings and the studies of God's word were done in homes, and most didn't have the right amount of, you know, like a bathtub or something that they could do a baptism in, and so they went down to the rivers and to the lakes. Well, the rivers and the lakes were where commerce took place in that day. And so if you went down to a river or a lake to be baptized, everyone saw you, and they knew what you were doing. And at a time when it was illegal and considered subversive to follow Christ, to take that step of being baptized in such a public way, that was a big deal. You could lose your job. You could lose your life. You could lose a lot of different things. It was hugely significant. Now, our baptisms do not carry quite that kind of stigma, right? Sometimes they do, but most of the time, baptism today is a public declaration, but it doesn't have that scary stuff hanging over it. At least I hope not for you guys. If you do, talk to me, because there's something wrong. We got to talk to your parents. But I don't think it's the norm today. Now, Karen's parents baptized her when she was a baby, and they did so with the idea that they were going to raise her to have faith, and she did. She came to have faith, but she has the conviction that she wants to be baptized again now as a believer, and so she's going to do that this morning. And it's not her saying what you did was wrong or bad or whatever. It's saying, this is the fruit of what you prayed for me, and I'm going to follow Jesus in this. So it's a beautiful way to honor that hope that her parents had for her. That day. I should have looked up what the date was, because I bet we could have found it, but it was a while ago. So what we celebrate this morning is the work of God in the hearts of Karen and Amira and Josh and Evangeline and Ellie. And God has taken them out of darkness and brought them into light. He has turned them from unbelief, and he has brought them to belief. We celebrate their desire to walk with Jesus and their commitment to do that. That's what we're celebrating today. In a moment, I'm going to ask them three questions. I'm going to ask them, do you believe Jesus died for your sins and arose to give you everlasting life? Do you confess that your only hope for salvation from sin and eternal punishment is found in your personal trust in Christ Jesus alone, Jesus Christ alone? Okay. And do you affirm your intention to live for Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit? And when they answer yes, and I told them, if they can't answer yes to any of those questions, then let's not do the baptism today. Let's talk about that. But when they answer yes to each of those questions, then we're going to be celebrating that they have trusted in the amazing Lord Jesus as their Savior. They have received him. And John 1:12 says that they are now children of God. They have been. From the moment they trusted in Christ, this affirms that. This is kind of like their public coming out party of what they've already believed and what they've been living out. Now they get to declare in this way. When when we do baptisms, there's blessing that comes in the obedience of following Christ into the waters of baptism. It is a beautiful thing. But we know that those who want to live for Jesus will face opposition. And I've mentioned to them that oftentimes when we take this step of faith, what happens is there's temptation, there's attack. Satan wants to discourage them. He wants them to get into an argument with their family on the way home this afternoon. He wants something to not go quite right this evening. He wants a voice to whisper in their ears, "You call yourself a Christian? You just got baptized and you just did that?" And I've encouraged them, resist the devil. Take those thoughts captive and remind yourself that you are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. I wish I could tell you that after baptism you'll never sin again. That would be awesome. But we're human beings still. And there's that battle that we have with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so as a congregation, I invite you, I ask you, please pray for them, that as they walk this out in these first few days especially, that they would be just surrounded by God's protection, that they would not be discouraged, but they would be encouraged by this choice that they've made. When I raise my hand over them, and we baptize them, and each one of them has someone that's going to, I think, anyway, baptize them with me, we'll baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we celebrate that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God has been involved in this conversion. He's been involved in the work in their lives, all of him. And when we take them and we put them under the water, and I just don't want you to be afraid. When we bring you out as well, we're going to celebrate the death of Jesus and your burial for our sins, but also that you've been raised to life. There's a beauty that you'll never need to die again spiritually, that Jesus has done that. And we'll celebrate that just as Christ arose, you have been raised to life, and in the last day will be raised again. My prayer is that every person here, as I said earlier, that with what we're observing in these five, it will rekindle your desire to live out your faith, perhaps more than it has been recently, that it will restoke those flames for you because of what Christ has done in your life. The symbolism of baptism is so powerful. And for those who haven't experienced it, today would be the day that you would choose to follow Jesus as well. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing a song, and after the song, we will go ahead and we will do these baptisms. So let's pray. Gracious God, I am so grateful that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, I am so grateful that you have worked in the hearts and in the lives of Karen and Amira and Josh and Ellie and Evangeline, and you have opened their eyes to this truth, and you have drawn them to yourself, and they have believed. Lord, thank you for all of us who have experienced the forgiveness, the new life that is ours in Christ Jesus. Lord, today I pray for these five especially, that you would bless them as they follow you in obedience. I pray you would establish their faith strong and secure. I pray, Lord God, that they would walk with confidence from this day forth, trusting in you. And when they stumble, Lord God, that they would come back and they would experience again that love and forgiveness and start over. May all of us live this way. And for those who have not yet trusted in Christ, Lord, I pray today would be the day. Seeing the faith of these five would inspire them to make that bold decision to trust in Christ alone. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.